Today is Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. So, page 990. Just a reminder, actually, something I forgot to announce before was that Therese is organising a baby shower for Adriana. In the news sheet, it's got it for 31st of August or something. That would probably be after the baby's born. So it's actually next Sunday at Adriana's place at 2. So Mark 1, 21 to 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
Let's just pray with God's word open for us. Father in heaven, it's an immense privilege to have your word in our hands. And yet with that privilege comes an immense responsibility too. For to hear these words, to meet this son of yours on the pages of this part of the Bible, and not to be changed, is a scary thought. And so please, as we see more of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see more of the answer to the question, who is this Jesus? Please will you show us our response. Show us how you would have us change. Speak to our lives. Speak these truths deep into our hearts. Plant them in our minds so that we think on them again and again and again. And help us to see your glory and your grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we go, the kids have gone, and we're right back down there again. I guess most of us have had that sort of sinking feeling that comes when someone has built something up so much. You know, they've gone on and on and on about it. Might be a sort of a film or something like that. They go, "Oh, you got to see this thing. It's just awesome. And let me tell you about it." And you're thinking, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." And they've gone on and on. And so when you finally got to seeing it or reading it, if it was a book, or eating it, if it was some sort of food or whatever it might be, it's an anticlimax. Is that all? I used to have a boss a little bit like that. He'd go on and on and on about something, you know, it'd be a film, he'd talk about it constantly, he'd just break into a little chuckle as he thought about something else, some other reason why he liked it so much. And then, although this never actually happened to me, and I'm so thankful for it, but it did happen to my good friend, he might suggest that actually we watch it together. Watch it with me. Awkward. Very awkward, because he'd be dissolving into fits of laughter, and you'd be going, "Well, my friend would go, yeah, that's great." Does that happen to you, Deb? Is it? really quite hard. It's really quite awkward when it doesn't quite deliver, when it doesn't live up to the hype. Now, has something like that ever happened to you? No. Okay. Never. All right. But what about this? On the other hand, I remember when Ali and I went to the cinema with no particular plan in mind to see, you know, what was there. We didn't know really what was on, and actually the timings were quite wrong for us to see most of the things that were there. And the only film that was available for viewing without us having to wait ages was Billy Elliot, a musical for a start, about a young boy who wants to be a ballet dancer. I knew it's been talked about quite a lot. I couldn't quite get excited about it myself, but there you go. We were together. It was the early days, you know, sensitive side on show, all that sort of stuff. My expectations were low, but actually, it was a brilliant film. A very, very, very good film. Now, as you begin to look at the Gospel of Mark, which is what we've been doing for 4 weeks now, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of building up that's gone on very intensely and very quickly. It's immediate, it's racy, it's punchy. There's no, you know, the lambs and the stable and the shepherds and the angels, all of that sort of stuff. It's, this is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's verse one. And then bang, 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 bang. He's into it. Someone's coming. There's a lot of hype being built up, and one of the key questions in the first half of Mark's Gospel especially is, who is this Jesus? Verse 1, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is chapter 1, Mark 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 3, it's implied that this one is the Lord, God himself coming. 1, verse 7, he's more powerful than John. Verse 8, in fact, he's going to do the reality of what John's showing a picture of. 1 verse 10, he's the one on whom the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descends from heaven and comes to rest. Verse 11, he's the one named by the voice from heaven. Who could that possibly be? As my Son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased. There's some big talk about this person. And then last week we heard his first recorded words in Mark as he retells us this account of Jesus' life. And it's big talk too, isn't it? 1 verse 15, he's the one who brings the kingdom near. And the implication is that he's the king of the kingdom of God. Now, is that just hype? Or will he deliver? Is it just talk? Do you see how it's building, building, building? But is it just words? And is he just talking the talk, making a big, extravagant claim, talking a good game, pressing a few buttons, working the audience? Because he knows what gets them going. He's just a crafty, skilled communicator. So much talk, but can he walk it? As the one who's put himself out there in his announcement that the kingdom of God has come and that its king is with it, can he walk that? And if he can, here's the question, what would that look like? Well, again, we've had hints already. When he says, not just repent and believe, in verse 15, but then issues the command to people, real people in real life, to drop everything and follow me in verse 17. But then when it happens as well, wow, something to think about there. These guys drop everything. They do follow him immediately. Would it look like that? It might do. The impression is of authority there, making things happen, snapping one's fingers, and it is so? Could he actually be living up to the hype? Could he actually be walking the talk? Well, that's where we begin looking at this section we've got before us this morning. Because we see what happens when Jesus comes to church, well, synagogue anyway. We'll find more of the walk. Will we find more of the walk to go with the big talk? And the answer is yes. Because following on from last week, we get to see authority in action in three ways as we look at Jesus. So let's have a look at it. Firstly, we see that Jesus' teaching lands with authority. So he turns up at Capernaum Synagogue Church and he teaches the people there. It's nice to have a guest speaker once in a while. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, where are you from again? Nazareth. Okay, Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, here he is. Okay, over to you. And he begins to teach. Verse 21. And I think it's fair to say that everyone there that morning had their expectations comfortably, or rather uncomfortably, exceeded. Don't you? For as we read on, verse 22, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Verse 27, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority." What does that mean? Well, it means at least that Jesus is living up to the hype. This wasn't some geezer standing up blagging it. You don't use that word, do you? Winging it. He's not just up there winging it because he hasn't spent enough time preparing his sermon that week. This wasn't apparently what they usually got on a Saturday morning either. As one commentator puts it, Jesus' teaching was much more than a collection of novel or encouraging ideas. It was an exercise of power. It was authority being brought to bear. And so perhaps this dark horse from Nazareth had one of those voices that holds you like a tractor beam, just like mine. Maybe not. Or was it his presence as he stood up there? He had the gravitas. You know, certain people, when they walk into the room, they suddenly dominate just by their presence. You know, they're like this. As you look at them, they might even only be this tall, but it feels like you're looking up at them as some person of huge stature. Maybe he had the gravitas. Or perhaps his style was hypnotic. Perhaps he could work the crowd through his rhetorical skill and have them eating out of his little hand like little lambs. Well, all of that is speculation, really. And it actually, as much as we'd love to know whether Jesus sounded like Mark Driscoll or John Stott in his preaching, it actually has nothing to do with the authority in view. So what was so authoritative about his teaching? Well, the feedback forms from church that morning seemed clear that he was different to their teachers of the law. It says that in verse 22, doesn't it? He taught as one who had authority. And these teachers of the law, strictly speaking scribes, were tasked with reading out the law and perhaps referring to the traditions of the rabbis that had gone before them. And so their authority came only from the material that they were teaching. And if you look over to Matthew's record of Jesus' life, maybe just turn over to Matthew, the book before Mark, and chapter 5. You'll see how Jesus relates to what was the norm. This is in one of the most famous of his sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. And he repeats the same formula over and over again in his teaching. So have a look at verse 21, where he talks about murder. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.'" Yeah? Yeah, we heard that. We know that. But then what does he say? "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother Raca is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. You see what he does there? You have heard that it was said such and such, but I tell you, you have heard that it was said, that's the teachers of the law, teaching with their authority, this is God's word, there's authority in that, obviously. But do you see what Jesus is doing by saying, but I tell you? And as you look at what he says, and he does it again and again in Mark 5, you'll see that he does no violence at all to those original commands that he mentions. Rather, he takes each one of them and he absolutely nails it. He enlarges it to the absolute maximum extent. And so murder isn't just the taking of one's life. It's now anger. It's now character assassination through gossip. It's now all of those sorts of things. You see how big murder suddenly got? How big a deal? It's amazing authority to do that. But there's more. You see, this authority that Jesus shows was not merely power to decide on what the teachings mean and to apply them properly. It was the power to compel decision about them, to compel a response to them, to command, to call for change. Not as someone just handling a book that someone else has written something in and said something in, but as the one who is behind the book. And the net effect at Capernaum Synagogue Church was amazement. This guy really knows what he's talking about. It's almost as if he wrote it in the first place. There's definitely a wow effect going on here. But the wow effect, and it comes up a fair amount in Mark's story, as you can read if you read on, and as we'll see anyway in future weeks. This wow effect, this amazement, also contains a bit of a whoa effect as well. An element of disturbingness. People feel the presence of authority. They don't just hear words, but they feel the compulsion to decide, to respond, to change. These people felt the presence of the King of God's kingdom. Jesus' teaching lands with authority. We'll come back to that. The second way we see authority in action here builds on the first, and it's this. That Jesus' teaching doesn't just land with authority, but Jesus' teaching actually exposes evil. What seems to be really important for Mark, whatever else has been said already, is not so much how Jesus spoke in terms of his style, or even what he spoke in terms of his content. Mark doesn't tell us about those things, as authoritative as they might be. What really, really clinches it, and what really clinched it, I think, for those present down at Capernaum Synagogue Church, is what happened when he spoke. Ah! Bit scary. That's what happened when he spoke. Don't have to do that when I'm speaking. That's what happened. Verse 23, just then, Jesus is teaching, just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet." said Jesus sternly. It's perhaps a marker of where these people were at in their worship of and devotion to their God. That a demon-possessed individual could be there, either known or unknown. That would be scary, wouldn't it? What Jesus said and his authority, sorry Annie, did I make her cry? What Jesus said forced evil out into the open. This is, of course, an evil spirit in view, a spirit who's in control of an individual's life, enslaving him. But you know, it needn't be an evil spirit that gets exposed when Jesus' word goes out, even though that happens here and that could happen. As fallen human beings with sinful natures, you could say that we're all naturally self-possessed. We're slaves to sin. Sin surrounds people in its clutches, and when self is the master, self is also the slave, and selfishness is the slavery. It's the work of our sinful nature. And I tell you, personal evil beings, Satan and his henchmen, are very happy with that. But nothing exposes that quicker than the one who speaks with absolute authority in calling people in that situation to repent, to turn from their sin, and to trust in a new king, a new master. You see, when Jesus speaks, they're kingly words, and they will disturb anyone or anything that's in opposition. They will expose any resistance to this king's wishes. And that's why this spirit was exposed. It's also why we find ourselves exposed when we hear the word of Christ. Because Jesus' teaching doesn't just land with authority. Moving on from that, it exposes evil. But there's more here. Thirdly, evil is powerless against Jesus' authority, isn't it? Verse 25, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. See, Jesus literally tells evil where to go. And in the process of doing that, he frees a poor man from his slavery to evil. Many people today are turning their interests back to the supernatural. We see that worked out in popular culture through the subject matter of films and just vampire film after vampire film after vampire film, and then all the other stuff around that. You know, as Christians, we believe in a spiritual battle. And we believe in a personal evil being called Satan, and we believe in other personal and evil beings along with him. The Bible makes us aware of those realities. But isn't it so good to know? So good to know that not least because of these few verses here in Mark, that all of those beings believe in Jesus. They believe in Jesus and they know him better than anyone in Mark 1 knows him. They know him as the Holy One of God. And that's not some profession of faith by this evil spirit, as if what we have here is the conversion of an evil spirit. It's actually an attempt, most likely, to gain power over Jesus by naming his true identity. But the result is still the same. Yes, what he speaks is true. He is the Holy One of God. But no, this spirit has absolutely no power against Jesus. Nothing at all. And so the result is fear. Fear The evil spirits are scared of Jesus. Scared of who he is. Scared of his authority. So much so they know they are done for. They know the power that Jesus wields. Shut up. Get out. That's what he says, basically, isn't it? That's power, isn't it? This evil is powerless against this king. Evil and chaos go together. Demon possession showed that clearly. We'll see it again in Mark's gospel later on. Uncontrollable, violent, dangerous. Where's the light in that darkness? Jesus. Jesus and his authority. It wasn't lost on the congregation there, was it? Verse 27, what is this? What is this? And who is this? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. We have a peculiar challenge this morning. We have people in Mark chapter 1 who are coming to terms with the hype about Jesus and are in the process of sort of weighing up whether or not he lives up to that hype. We can see clearly with our gift of hindsight who he is. We know also how the story pans out. But we've got also this troubling but very, very firm testimony of this evil spirit who's an absolute believer that Jesus is the Holy One of God and who knows the power that Jesus possesses and who knows that Jesus will ultimately destroy him, who knows him so well and those things so well. And here we are, 2,000 years later. It's a challenge to our view of the power of Jesus' word, isn't it? What do we think about his word? What do we think about the authority of his word? What do we think about when that word lands on us and makes us feel uncomfortable? And what do we do then? Do we say, not sure I'm going to think about that today. A little bit uncomfortable to go there. Is that not Jesus' word uncovering evil in our lives? It's our aim to preach the word of Jesus Christ in this church without fear or favour. And the thing is about that his words still have that power to compel decision today. These words are still the call of King Jesus today. And as such, and I want you to know this, because it will take us some thinking about to recognise it, but as such, whenever the word is preached, things happen. Every single time. Every time. Every time that word is preached, evil is exposed in our lives. It may not come with a screaming demonic possession. You know the way it more commonly comes? With a deafening silence. I don't just mean the silence in the room, but a deafening silence in our lives. The complete indifference of those who have long since decided or perhaps just forgotten who Jesus is. Maybe they've decided Jesus doesn't live up to the hype. Or maybe you've just forgotten how much he does live up to the hype. He might have power over personal, spiritual, evil beings, but he's got no power over me. He's got no authority to tell me what to do. Nothing ever happens when I hear his word. Now, maybe that's because the preacher was bad, or the message was wrong, and there's wrong stuff and weak stuff in the messages that are preached here. But the prayer, and it should be your prayer for me too, and anyone who preaches here, is that that shouldn't be the case. As far as I can work out, there's at least some stuff in here that I'd stake my life on all of it, actually, this morning. This morning I'd stake my life on all of it. You know, nothing ever happens when I hear his word. Did that mean that nothing happened when you heard his word? No, it didn't. It just meant that you've forgotten how to hear a hardening heart. Please, God, give us eyes to wake up to that delusion. That is the work of evil. And those great believers in Jesus, Satan and his colleagues, rub their hands together in delight. Jesus will go on to give a parable about seed falling on different sorts of soil. We won't get there in this series, but we'll probably come to it next year sometime. Have a look at it in Mark 4. Responses are in view there. And the path would be this one. But every time also is the opportunity not to harden your heart, but to experience the power of Jesus' authority as he smashes the power of evil in people's lives and tells it where to go. Ryan, Jamie, and Claire, that's what's happened recently. For you. It's awesome. Through the authority of who Jesus is, you're not slaves to sin anymore. It's not all me, myself, and I. Self as the master, self as the slave, selfishness as the life that I live. It's now Jesus has come in. Jesus has got the reins of my life. Amen. And so, people, friends, brothers and sisters, young and old, what are your expectations of what could happen when King Jesus speaks? It's interesting, and this is the final verse and my final word. Verse 28. Reflect on this. News about him spread quickly over the whole region. News about him spread quickly. No wonder. Amazement, astonishment, authority. Jesus, the King of the Kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, it is humbling to read of the testimony of evil spirits about you. When people were floundering around in their own knowledge and ignorance, it's instructive to us. It's worth reflecting on how readily they give testimony to who you are. Even though they are at odds and in opposition with what you want to do in people's lives, they know they are done for. They know destruction is coming at the hands of Jesus. And so, Father, please, in terms of the authority, really, of your Son, please, will you give us their eyes to acknowledge that authority? But thank you that more than that, you have proclaimed the good news, that not only is Jesus the King, but that his command, his righteous command for our best, glorious, eternal good, is to repent and believe the good news about him. To invite us into the kingdom, to command us into the kingdom, really. Please, grow our faith. Help us to enjoy and exult in that good news. Help us to know that the one who is in us, your Holy Spirit, is greater than he that is in the world. Help us to know that evil is powerless against your authority. The devil cannot resist your word. That gives us great confidence. Please help us to encourage each other in this, for the glory of your name and for the ongoing spreading of the news around this region and beyond. Amen. Amen.